Is the learning in your school competency-based? Is it personalized? Is it happening anytime, anywhere? Is it student-owned? In other words, is the learning student-centered? And are all students learning more deeply, more equitably, and becoming career and college ready? If you have these questions, want to know what the research says about them, and are trying to figure out how to implement these ideas in your classrooms and schools, you've come to the right place. Thank you for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. I'm your host, Arthur Barriff, and I've been a principal and teacher in student-centered schools for over 17 years, and I can't wait to share a story or interview that will help you help your students. So I'm here today with Students at the Center Distinguished Fellow, Kay Kawashima Ginsburg, who is also the director of CIRCLE, the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement at Tufts University. Thanks, Kay, for being on the podcast.
You're very welcome. It's great to be here.
And it's an honor to be talking to one of the leading experts on civics education in the United States about the principles of democratic practices in a classroom environment that lead to deeper student-centered learning. So before we get into some of that specific topic, tell us a little bit about the scope of your work at CIRCLE.
Thanks for asking. So CIRCLE is a nonpartisan research organization that studies a really broad range of topics that are related to the kinds of things that can promote civic learning and participation, especially for those who are historically marginalized in civic and political life. Some of the things we study are in the school, such as civics education, and even disciplinary policy and service learning, and others are completed outside of school, such as youth organizing and voting.
So it may go without saying, but I wanted to ask, how do you see civics education being central to student-centered learning?
Civic education really is a broad concept if you take down what it means to learn to be a citizen. And so it's not just about learning about the laws and policies and structures of our government, but it's also about learning to work with each other, how to participate in our civic and public life. So if you think from that framework of civic education, we really need to start to connect the student-centered learning with civic learning, because without letting our students know that their voices matter and that every student in their classroom also has a voice and that there needs to be a sense of collective as well as personal agency within the classroom, we're sort of missing one of the important links in student-centered learning, which is really the sense of agency.
And one of the goals of student-centered learning is readiness for career and college, as well as deeper learning. And I also see that there's a connection there, that readiness for a career in college, having a deep connection with civic readiness as well.
That's right. When we expand, once again, the civic skills beyond just knowledge about the policies and systems, we start to see a great deal of overlap between civic skills and competencies and career and college readiness. Those, some of the skills are things like communicating with others who are different themselves and adapting how to communicate with people for persuasion, planning actions and reflecting on things and evaluating and thinking critically. So there are so many things that you need to learn to be an active and effective citizen that are going to be really useful once students go into the workplace as well as college.
So now that we've established this important link and how student agency in the classroom is very connected to student agency in their community, let's talk about what teachers can actually do, even if they're not history teachers or civics teachers. What can any teacher do to promote civics as a virtue in our students and increase their agency?
When we think about civic learning a little bit more broadly than just social studies and the policies and laws and structures of our government, we start to understand that there is such thing as silent civic learning, which is not so much about the explicit teaching about the knowledge, but it's about how we communicate to each student about their place in civic and democratic life. So that can happen in any subject. It can happen in lunchroom. It can happen in after-school program or extracurricular activities. But what we are sometimes telling and not telling the student is that your voice matters, people are interested in your opinion, and you need to be able to hear other people in order to work together.
So there's a hidden implicit curriculum that's either doing a good job or not so good job infusing democratic principles into schools and into students' lives.
Yeah, and I would even argue that sometimes there is a big discrepancy between what we teach students in civics about democratic life, such as every citizen has equal right and everybody has the right to participate and have a voice, while in other aspects of the school life, such as, you know, maybe students are getting scanned for a weapon every time they're coming in, or they're seeing some unequal application of the disciplinary rule in the school handbook, then they start to see that the democracy isn't really real. They're not really being applied in the same way. It says a lot more than what we teach in civics about how students understand their agency and whether they have a voice and an ability to have an impact in their community life. And school is an expression of a larger society which needs democratic principles and people that are effective citizens. So school's a great place to practice that, but not all schools really provide that place.
So now we're believers that schools need to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, and provide students an experiential education on how to be civically engaged and valuable contributors and voices in their community. So how do they actually do it? What can teachers do to cultivate these habits and mindsets?
That's right. And Arthur, I'm sure you have more examples than I can name, but some of the things are pretty simple, like just simply creating structured opportunity for students to deliberate on certain topics that might have multiple answers and not necessarily just think there's one answer. And hey, make sure that students are comfortable with disagreements. It also goes for making sure that there are ways in which teachers and other facilitators are creating an environment where different kinds of communications and different types of expressions are embraced, so that students are valued for their critical thinking, their evidence, and the content of what they're saying, but not the accent they have or how they say things or how they might express certain opinions. So sometimes we observe in classroom, you know, where students might raise their hands and they have a lot to say, and that student continues to be somebody that would say a lot of things. If the teacher continues to really value that sort of expression in every aspect of their class, some other students that might have really valuable things to say may not participate. They may also learn implicitly that their opinions and therefore they are not valued in the classroom. So there needs to be a little bit more facilitation than typical classroom when you start to be conscious of that aspect.
So teachers often frame this particular example of student participation and student expression as an engagement strategy, mm-hmm. but it's really deeper than that. It's self-identity development. And the messages that a teacher sends to students around who will be listened to and whose voices matter have longer lasting implications for the individuals in the classroom as how they see themselves as members of the community.
That's absolutely right. And I think teachers can do a lot in creating a really inclusive climate. And it's not just about compositional diversity and what teachers say, how they welcome different opinions, but it's really, again, how they live that practice. By paying attention to different kinds of dynamics that are happening in classrooms and making conscious efforts to create, once again, a structured, deliberative opportunities. And some teachers may say that, you know, teaching is really about the content and they don't really want to get into discussions about everything. But I also often encourage teachers to not shut out politics or controversial issues, especially when students actually want to talk about that, because it impacts their lives. A lot of times, you know, immigration issues or even healthcare policies might impact their students' personal lives. And because it's controversial, many teachers, including civics teachers, fear that there may be pushback in talking about politics. But if those topics are relevant for students and teachers are confident enough to hold a structured deliberative discussion, I think it can have a really positive impact on how students see their role as citizens in their classroom.
So to review, we're asking teachers to allow for opportunities to deliberate and not shy away from controversial topics, to strive for equity of voice and multiple forms of expression, to be as inclusive as possible. Are there other democratic principles that teachers can play out in their classroom?
You know, I think it's a balance between choice and structure. So I think oftentimes students say, well, democratic means that we get to do whatever we want to do. It's not necessarily true, but as a leader in the classroom, teachers can often communicate the principles of democratic participation. And that's, I think, as important in making transparent what the systems are and what the role of engagements are for students, so they don't misunderstand that democracy means they get everything they want, but it means that democracy means sometimes they lose, sometimes they win, sometimes they have to find a solution that's good for everybody. And communicating that particular rules of engagement and making transparent that we, as a classroom unit, live in a mini democracy, I think again can build the sense of community among students and build a sense of responsibility for one another and empathy for students who have different opinions.
So listening to one another, understanding one another, understanding how groups can make decisions together, these are some of the key ideas being a democratic citizen. Are there other aspects of being a democratic system that can be nurtured and cultivated in the classrooms?
Yes, I think one of the aspects that we often miss when we talk about civic education in particular is actually relational aspect of civic and democratic life. We often think about skills and disposition as if it's an individual skill set, and it's often the case in research in civic learning and engagement, that's how we measure civic skills and disposition. But when we look at the actual civic life, it's a hugely relational activity. You have to understand what other people are thinking about. You have to build a relationship in order to get things done. And again, those are the kinds of skills that become really important in college and career. If you think about a kid who, let's say, come from a family that has never had anybody go to college, but they academically excel and they want to go to college, and if that kid has great academic skills, but none of the relational skills or the ability to listen to and come through a disagreement and navigate complex systems using those social and emotional and relational skills, we're not necessarily guaranteeing success in college for that very academically talented students. So creating a democratic climate in a classroom can build those connectors of people that can really be handy, so to say, when a student goes out after high school to different worlds.
Seems like teachers need to have a mindset shift in seeing the social emotional learning of their students as relevant as the content learning that they're doing. And through feedback given kindly around those issues, we can help develop those skills in students so that they're more ready to be members of society.
That's right. I think, you know, by building the culture and expectations and habits of caring about each other and caring about the group rather than just individual well-being can go a long way in creating the climate.
Can you think of any, to wrap up, illustration of a particular classroom or particular teacher, or particular group of students that illustrates one or more of these principles?
Yes, I can think about a program where students sometimes for the first time are asked what important and relevant local issues they would like to study about and work on. And it's really an indication of a different mindset of teacher and a particular program called Generation Citizen in this case, that focuses on often marginalized communities where students are going to school where they often don't feel like they have a say in anything. And often for the first time, they're asked, what's important to you? We can choose together as a class a topic to work on. So they oftentimes, again, for the first time, have to engage and grapple with this idea of deliberation. They have different needs and opinions about what's important because, of course, they're different people, but they have to come to an agreement. And once they come to an agreement, they have to then decide who is doing what and what kind of research they're doing and what kind of argument they're making as a group. And they'll get to practice what it's like to be an active citizen by actually working on authentic issue. When this happens in the classroom, I've seen a really transformative change in students who really change how they view themselves as a learner. they're not only finally getting to direct where their learning is going, but they're also seeing a purpose in what they're learning about. And they're also being able to address something that's actually important for them. So that sense of relevance and purpose also transforms their sense of efficacy.
That brings it full circle back to student-centered learning, and developing a sense of efficacy in our students will then translate to so many other things that they put their minds to in the future. So this is essential work, and thanks for your time and being on the podcast, Kay.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Where can folks go to learn more?
You can visit our website at www.civicyouth.org, where we post our studies or tools. We often have data sets and tools and assessment measures that people can use to measure civic skills and dispositions.
And are there tools that classroom educators can use on this website as well?
We do. One of the most popular resources we have on our website is actually called Civic Engagement Quiz. It's a one-page assessment tool that teachers often use to look and see how students are doing as a group or as an individual before they try something in the civic engagement activities, such as service learning or deliberation and debate. And teachers really enjoy using that as a tool to measure the improvement in students' skills and disposition.
And let's give Generation Citizen a little love too. I'll repeat their name. I'm sure they're easy to find if you Google them.
Generation Citizen is really a great program that's really starting to make an impact in many communities, including Providence, where you are, Arthur, and New York City, as well as places that's a little bit different from most urban programs, such as Oklahoma City and Central Texas. The program's innovative in that it's not only testing the kind of democratic practices in a place where they're already students who are so-called democratic, big D, but also going to a so-called conservative places and see how that kind of interventions can work.
Thank you, Kay. And with all that's happening in the current political climate and people's fears about democratic participation, engagement, our institutions, the increase in apathy, I think it's more important now than ever to really have these conversations and to let teachers know that they play an important role, even if they're not a civics teacher, in quotes, in developing these mindsets and capacities in our youth. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again for listening to the Student-Centered Learning Podcast. Let us know what you think about this episode or what you tried in your school by commenting on our Facebook page. You can also subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and please leave a rating so others can find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at @STUCNTRpodcast. And remember, students learn deeply when they are at the center.